Britain has now become the first country to approve a rigorously tested COVID-19 vaccine. The creation of Pfizer and a German pharmaceutical company won emergency approval today. Inoculations in Britain could begin next week. Still, the World Health Organization forecasts there won't be enough vaccine to stop new surges for another 3 to 6 months. We'll return to this after the news summary. President-elect Biden warned today that the pandemic could kill another 250,000 people in the U.S. in the next 2 months. He did not offer details, but that is far more than CDC projections. Mr. Biden also addressed the economic toll and promised efforts to spark a speedy recovery. He pressed Congress for a down payment now on new relief.
I believe that with the right policies, we can fundamentally change things. And my hope is that we'll be able to help in a short order. But that depends a lot on our friends in Congress and the other side who are prepared to take the action that has to be taken.
We'll talk with two U.S. senators about COVID relief and other issues later in the program. President Trump ran into opposition today to his veto threat against a sweeping defense bill. He demanded a provision to end liability protections for social media companies for their users' posts. Republican Senator Jim Inhofe, chair of the Armed Services Committee, dismissed the demand, and negotiators approved a final version without the liability language. Afghanistan's government and the Taliban have had a breakthrough of sorts. They announced a preliminary deal today, setting the rules for peace talks. It is their first written agreement in 19 years of war. Ethiopia and the United Nations agreed today on opening a humanitarian corridor into the country's Tigray region. Some 6 million people have been trapped there during a month of fighting between the army and rebel forces. The agreement calls for allowing in food, medicine, and other critical supplies. Hong Kong's leaders are being criticized after three top pro-democracy activists were sentenced to jail. Agnes Chow, Joshua Wong, and Ivan Lam will serve 7 to 13 months over a protest last year. Supporters demonstrated in solidarity today, some hiding their faces out of caution as China cracks down on dissent.
Compared to other protesters who did damage on public facilities or even people who were charged with riot, they were just participating in the protest. Everyone was angry at that time. They shouldn't be the only people to take the blame. It's just because they are more renowned that they receive a heavy sentencing.
In Washington, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi denounced what she called brutal sentencing of young champions of democracy. Back in this country, the Boeing 737 MAX made its first public flight since being grounded for 20 months after two fatal crashes. Reporters flew on a 737 MAX from Dallas to Tulsa, Oklahoma, as part of an effort by American Airlines to restore public trust. American plans to return the planes to service on December 29th. The U.S. Transportation Department is putting a limit on emotional support animals on airliners. A rule issued today allows only service dogs that are trained to help people with physical or psychiatric disabilities. Airlines say that passengers have brought along everything from turtles to a peacock in a bid to avoid cargo fees. Wall Street had a relatively quiet day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained about 60 points to close at 29,883. The Nasdaq fell 5 points, but the S&P 500 added 6 for another record close. And American Olympic champion Rafer Johnson died today in Los Angeles. He captured the decathlon at the 1960 Rome Olympics and ultimately set 3 world records. In 1968, Johnson worked on Robert F. Kennedy's presidential campaign and helped subdue the gunman who fatally shot Kennedy. Rafer Johnson was 86 years old. Still to come on the NewsHour, how the COVID vaccine will be distributed. Strong words from a Republican in Georgia on the dangers of violent language. A Renaissance master breaks gender barriers centuries after her work hit the canvas, and much more.
This is the PBS NewsHour. from WETA Studios in Washington, and in the West, from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University.